Sure.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We are discussing on the subject of those who help Islam and the Imam, and those who are a problem and a nuisance for the Imam. And in relationship to the people that Imam Ali alayhi salam had dealt with, he has spoken about six groups of people that he dealt with. And he described those people so that the description of their characteristics could be juxtaposed to our own character, and we can look at those characters and see, who are we? Are we the helper of the Imam, or are we a problem for the Imam? And you see that these six groups of people that he described, the first ones are the helpers, the true supporters and followers of the Imam that we are speaking of right now. The second group of people are the lazy, the ineffective, inept, who have been with the Imam, but they are always slow in their help for the Imam. The third ones are the sleepers. Those who are asleep, they are irrelevant, they take no side, and hence it is a different group of people that Imam Ali talked about and spoke of. The fourth group of people, which he gave the term to them, and it was Naqisin, those who broke his pledge, these are the renegades, the traitors. The fifth one are the qasidin, the lawbreakers, the criminals. And the last one are the marikin, who are the people that broke off from the camp of Ali. And these are the people who are known by their simple-mindedness and them being naive. So, these are the six groups of people that we will be discussing in the month of Ramadan. Right now we are discussing about helpers, those who are the true ansar of the Imam, the true helpers of the Imam. And we see that the word ansar is a term that is used by Allah and Islam and the prophets even before Imam Ali. And it is not just an action. It is not just an action. Helping is not just an action. Being a helper is not just an action, but it is actually a character. It is actually a
character.
And this is when Allah speaks, when Allah, He speaks to the mu'min and says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. O you who believe, be the helpers of Allah. Allah wants those characters that are helpers. And He wants nasir, not mansur. He wants those who help, not those who are seeking help. And we see the Imam also is looking for nasireen. He's not looking for those who are seeking help. He's looking for people who are helpers. That's the reason you see when Imam Hussein announced for help, he said, Hal min nasirin yansurana. Is there any helper who would help me? He wasn't seeking people who needed his help. He was seeking people who would help him. And the character that we see that Muslims have and mu'mineen have is that they want to be mansur, they don't want to be nasir. When they go to the grave of the Imam, they are always having a list of things that they're asking for. They are seeking help from the Imam. They're saying, Imam, help me, Imam, help me. And the Imam is looking for those people that when they come to the Imam, they're saying, Labbaik ya Imam, I'm here at your service. Tell me what I can do to help you. Tell me what I can do to help you. This is who I am. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to seek help. I'm here to help your cause. This is the character of being a helper. And Imam Ali describes this character in Nahjul Balagha that we were reading. In Khutbah 116, Imam Ali describes these helpers and the characteristics that they have so that you can identify one when you see one. Or you can see if you are that person. And at first he goes through those people who are a nuisance for him. Those who are always a problem for him. He goes through them and he says about them, وَلَوِدْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَّقَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. He says, I long that Allah creates a separation between you and me. This is the Imam, he's speaking of the people that he's dealing with. And he's telling them, how I long that Allah separates you and me. That I have nothing to do with you. I have nothing to do with you. And he says, وَأَلْحِكِنِي بِمَنْ هُوَ أَحَقٌ بِمِنْكُمْ. And he joins me with those who have more right to be with me. Who have more right to be with me. Allah, I pray for those. And then he describes who those are. And we went through two of those characteristics yesterday. The rest of them, we will go through today. The first characteristic was قَوْمٌ وَاللَّهِ مَيَامِينُ الرَّائِبِ. That this is a people whose view is righteous, is sound, is based on a strong foundation. It is not based on their whims or desires. It is not based on their own interest. When you ask them for their view, when you ask them for advice, you see that these people, they will give you advice that is strong and is well grounded, and it's not based on whether you will be pleased with them or whether they are afraid of you or whether they would break away from you. Their view is not based on personal self-interest, but their view is based on revelation. Their view is based on what Allah and His Prophet has given them. This is the first
characteristic one must have in order to be a helper.
So when you see someone who, when you look for their opinion, they give their opinion based on what people want to hear, you know that this is not a helper of the Imam. When you hear a person's advice, or you see a view or an opinion of a person, and you see that it is based on fear of people and makhluk, you know that this is not a helper of the Imam. This is how you recognize who are the Ansar of the Imam. And if you want to be one, then your view should be well grounded on what Allah has revealed and what the Prophet and the Imams have given. That is the first characteristic. The next one is where the Imam says, Marajihul Hilm, that they are forbearing, that they are tolerant. They do not, they are not harsh on the weaknesses of people or the mistakes of people. They are not hard on them. In fact, they are soft and gentle with them. We did these two. Now, let me go on with the third one. What is the third characteristic of the Ansar of the Imam? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He says, maqawilu bil haqq. The third characteristic is that their speech, whenever they speak, it is always the truth.
SubhanAllah.
It's always with haq. It's always the truth. When they speak, it's always haq. You see, it is something strange how Imam Ali organized this. It goes quite against or opposite of how Allah described it in the Quran. You see, Allah described to us the order and the relationship between truth and patience. Imam Ali reversed that order. You see, he spoke about patience first, and now he's speaking about truth later. But when Allah spoke of it, he says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. He spoke of haq and truth before he spoke about patience. And I want you to understand the difference. There, when Allah is speaking of it, He is saying, He is advising us to enjoin others to truth, to enjoin others to haq. And then, as a natural result of that, He says, enjoin each other for patience also. Enjoin each other for patience also. Why? Because when you speak the truth, you are not going to be welcomed. You are not going to be liked. You are not going to be praised. There is not going to be any applaud for you. When you speak the truth, there will be trouble. There will be problems. There will be hardships. So now when you speak the truth, remember, patience. Patience is what you should have when you speak the truth. Imam Ali, see, there Allah is advising us to do it. He's advising us to do it. So it means that you do haq first, then you have to be sabr. But Imam Ali is describing here the qualities of those who do it. He's describing those who already act upon what Allah is saying. And there he mentions patience before he mentions truth. Why? He says because the natural growth of a person is that he must first learn to be patient before he can even give the word of truth to the people. That sabr, that hilm must be there in a person before he does that. Because if he doesn't have that, and when he does it, then right away his impatience will destroy the message. You see that? His impatience destroys the message. This is the reason Now Imam Ali says that the quality is that he has forbearance and then he speaks the truth. Now, let's just see about this, my brother, speaking the truth. What does it mean to speak the truth? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to speak the truth? We speak the truth all the time in our masjid. You see, we speak the truth all the time in front of those who believe in it. You see, we speak the truth all the time in front of believers and say that Allah is Haq, Islam is Haq, and Ali is Haq. You see that? So obviously, we do it all the time, so we look at this and say, Ya Allah, Ya Ali, what's the hardship in this? You know? How hard is that? You know, how hard is that? So obviously that's not hard. So what does he mean here? When he says, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, what does he mean here to speak the truth? You see, when the Prophet spoke the truth, you know, I mean, alhamdulillah, we heard the Book of Allah being recited before the speech. And you know, we heard the words of Allah and we are moved by it. And we praise the person who recites it and reminds us of the word of Allah. Right? Now, this is not the same recitation as what the Prophet did. Allah says one of the signs of the Prophet, one of the qualities of the Prophet is what? Yatlu alayhim ayatin. He recites the verses of the Quran to the people. Ya Allah, you say that's the quality of the Prophet. What's so hard in that? What's so difficult about that? We do it all the time here. My children do it. My children do it. Well, see, but there's a difference. You see, there's a difference here. The Prophet is not reciting to those who believe in it. The Prophet, his quality is that he recites the verses of Allah to those who reject it. To those who disbelieve in it. To those who hate it. That when he recites it for them, their blood boils and they want to hurt him. This is the difference. So when the Prophet is reciting, when a believer is reciting, you see, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of the reciters of the Quran, a companion of the Prophet. Prophet used to send him to recite the Quran to the Kuffar of Makkah. And imagine this brother in front of people who hate the Quran, who hate Islam, who hate the Prophet. And they want to kill him, they want to get rid of him in front of all of them. You see that this Abdullah ibn Mas'ud comes forward and stands in front of the Kaaba and starts reciting the verses of Allah. I mean, imagine what kind of faith does one have? And then we see in hadith that someone comes to him as he's reciting and slaps him in the face. He slaps him in the face. My brothers, understand this. He slaps him in the face, and so what happens? He doesn't react back. He doesn't react back and says, you know, okay, let's get it on. You hit me, let's get it on. You see that? Brother, how many of us could tolerate that? See, how many of us could tolerate that? If someone comes and slaps us in the face for saying something that we believe in. For saying something that we believe in, how many of us will say, wait a minute, let me get back at this guy. Right? And then we will see about Quran and Islam later on. Imagine this. This is the reaction of a normal person. He will not, his anger would get the best of him. And he would go forward to hurt him. Or do something to him. Do something to him. So you see what happens. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is slapped in the face. But you see, just for that moment, when naturally his mouth has to stop because of the slap, he stopped reciting.
just because of the natural reaction of being snapped and you see that you cannot recite because your mouth has been struck. Just for that moment he stopped and again recited and started to recite it back. So imagine this, my brothers, what kind of faith does that person have? What kind of patience does he have and endurance does he have that he wants to give the word? So when Imam Ali says that they speak the word of truth, they speak it in front of those who dislike it. In front of those who detest it. In front of those people he speaks the truth. That's where it really counts. And that's where a soldier is known from those who run away. Who's a soldier, who's a helper, and who's a runner is known in those situations. Not in peace, in time of war. Not when you are calm, but under pressure. That's when your iman is known. You know, this is the reason, my brothers, iman is not known when you come to the masjid. You come to the masjid, you know, everyone behaves good. Right? Everyone behaves good. You don't behave good in a masjid, you know, there must be really something wrong with you. You know, you come to the masjid, you know, once a week, once in a while, you must be behaving good. You know, so obviously your iman is not known when you come to the masjid. Your iman is known when you have to make a deal where haram is involved. And then, if you don't make this deal, maybe you won't get the rent for this month. You might not have to pay the bills. You can't pay the bills. Now, you see, at that moment, your iman is being tested. What do? Do I make this deal, pay the rent, and inshallah, I'll do istighfar later? Or do I not make this deal, obey Allah, and trust that Allah will give me another means? How many believers come short of trusting Allah? Really? Speaking the truth, my brothers, the thing that is necessary for it is trusting in Allah. Because the reason a person doesn't speak the truth is because he lacks that trust. See? He lacks that trust in Allah. And Allah has shown you and given you every proof that you need to trust Him. You know, you heard this example of mine before. But just to reiterate it so that it goes down and it's part of what I'm saying right now. You know, trusting in Allah, because you see, when you don't trust Allah, you cannot speak the truth. Because speaking the truth requires that you are losing some dunya, something. And instead of that, now you need to trust Allah that Allah will provide for you. And if you do not trust that, then it means that you will not speak the truth. You will say something that they like so that at least this money or wealth that is coming can come in your pocket. You see, my brothers, Allah has given enough proof to trust us. Really. You know, I've been here speaking to you for the last, 25 minutes. And, you know, your attention is completely on me. I see that all the eyes are here, your ears are focused, and your mind is paying attention. Just in this moment, you know, someone comes to you from the back, taps you on the shoulder, and gives you an envelope, a note. You take that note, you open it up, and there's just two words written on it. You're fired. There's two words. It's a pink slip. It says, you are fired. You're fired. All right? Now tell me. You just lost your job in the middle of the speech. 25 minutes you have been paying attention to me. Imagine this. Now, after that moment, you don't have to answer this to me. You answer it to yourself. Would you pay attention to the speech like you were paying before? I mean, where is your mind now? Would it be on the speech, on Allah's word, on Hadith and Quran? Or is it on the job, mortgage, bills and car payments? And your wife that's waiting at home. Well, she doesn't know here yet. You want to tell her now. You will wait till you reach home. Right? You want to keep the mood as good as long as you can. Right? So now what happens? My brothers, understand this. How old is this person? He's like, for example, 30 years old. How long has Allah been giving him rizq? How long? 30 years and 9 months. 30 years and 9 months that he's in the womb of the mother. Allah was giving him rizq since the time his mother did not know when he was being fed. His mother did not know when he's eating, when he's dropping, what's going on. He's being fed. Allah is giving him rizq. Now he lived for 30 years, and you look at your own life. Imagine, was there any day in your life that you can think of that Allah did not give you rizq? Look in your own life. Is there any day in your life that Allah has not given you rizq? You think of it, then you can complain to Allah, on that day you did not give me rizq. Now my brothers, understand this. This is our own life we are talking about. No, not others. This is our own life we are talking about. Everyone is speaking of their own life now. Allah is giving them rizq every day of his life. He is providing for him every day of his life. Allah is giving him that. Now, in this speech, he gets a note that he's fired. Now he is worried, not of the point the Mawlana is making or the Alim is making, but what's going to happen to him. And not just him. Now what happened is that the next guy sitting next to him, he sees him worried. He says, what happened? He gives him the note. And he reads it and he says, you're fired. I say, you're fired. Now, this guy is not fired. The other guy was fired. But you see, he also now is lost. Now he's concerned, oh my goodness, he lost his job. You didn't lose your job, why are you worried? I mean, imagine this. That guy, this guy didn't lose his job, why are you worried about it? But you see that no, he is worried. And everyone who reads it will be worried. And the fact is, we ask them, why are you worried for? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? Who's going to feed me? What about next month? My mortgage, my bills, my this thing, that thing. It's a bad economy. You see, all the things are going down. How are you going to get another job? All these are worries, right? But then, this guy is worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And I ask him, what happened yesterday? What happened the day before yesterday? What happened in your whole life? Your whole life, every day of your life, Allah has been providing for you. What makes you think that he is going to stop today? What makes you think that he's going to stop today? How soon does a person lose his trust in Allah? How soon does he lose his tawakkul in Allah? After Allah gave him so many proofs to trust him in his own life. My brothers, when Allah gave these proofs, when Allah made our own life a proof to trust him, and if we can, if there's anyone we can trust in this world, it has to be Allah. Because never did he go back on his promises. Salawat ala
Muhammad.
See that, my brothers? Trusting in Allah, Allah gave us the proof. Allah said, trust me. And he gave us all the proof that we need to trust him. Why? Because when you trust Allah, then you will have the capacity to speak the truth. When you know that it's Allah who gives, not anyone else, you won't care what you say to anyone. You won't care what you say to anyone. They're not the ones giving you risk. It's Allah who's giving you risk. Then you learn how to speak the truth. If you do not trust Allah, you cannot speak the truth. If you don't have trust in Allah, you cannot speak the truth. And you see, Allah gave that example in the Quran. You know, he gave an example in the Quran of trusting him. Yeah? Here, I should also point out something. That trusting Allah means, does not mean being a fool. You know? See, there are certain people who think that trusting in Allah means that I can be lazy. I can sit at home and Allah is going to provide for me. Right? Well, Allah does, even if you sit at home, but it's usually something that is dishonorable. It's usually something that is disrespectful. Right? When Allah provides, you know, when Allah, what Allah means by trust is that you work, and then you put your trust in Allah. You know, it's that incident of this one guy who said, you know, I will prove to the world that I can trust Allah, and Allah is going to give me without me working. In the time of Bani Israel, you know, he said, you know, I'm going to prove to the world. So what happened is that he went to the jungle and said, I'm going to sit here until Allah gives me food. So he sat there. He sat there, and as he sat there, for one day, he waited for the food to come, it didn't come. Second day, now he's getting desperate, it still didn't come. Third day, he saw a person walking on a mule with some food. And he was walking his way, he says, Alhamdulillah, you see? I know that Allah is going to give, and I didn't have to do anything and be lazy. So as he was walking, and he saw the guy walking towards him, he suddenly turned and was going the other way. He realized the guy's going the other way, and he said, wait, where are you going? Yo! The guy heard him, and he came, and he got the food. So Allah just wanted to teach him that, listen, I give risk, and you trust me, but first you need to work for it, even if you have to say A for it. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So trusting Allah means you put in the effort, and then you put your trust in Allah, and you see what Allah gives you. Now my brothers, understand this. Allah gave an example in the Quran, and that too of a woman. A woman. You know? And you know that in those times women were dependent on their husband. Women were dependent on their husbands. You see that. And you see that these people, it was harder for them to trust, have trust, because they would have to go through their husband. And Allah gives the example of a woman in the Quran. You see this. And it was a woman who was not alone. She had a child with her. An infant, a baby. She had a baby with her. And there Allah told her husband to leave this wife. The husband is leaving this wife in a desert in the middle of nowhere with her baby and going away. But you see, the wife, her faith in Allah is such that she's not complaining to him, where are you leaving me? She's not saying, why are you leaving me here? She's not complaining about that. You see that? She does not say anything. The husband leaves her. My brothers, if this happened today, I mean, the husband could be arrested for abuse. Imagine this. He is leaving her in the desert with a child. No food, no drink, no people around. He leaves them and goes. The wife doesn't say anything. The husband leaves. She knows the husband is leaving. But her faith is such that she knows her husband is leaving, but Allah is not going anywhere. She knows that Allah is not going anywhere. Imagine the trust she has. Imagine the trust she has that she knows Allah is going to provide for her. Now Allah loved this trust so much. Allah loved it so much that He wanted to give to Hajira. He wanted to give His ni'mah to Hajira and His blessing to Hajira. But He knows that if He gives it without Hajira working for it, then the world will have an example that you can get by being lazy. That's why He tells Hajira, I will give you, but first you must run between Safa and Marwa. Run between Safa and Marwa so I can give you my blessings. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Hajira ran between Safa and Marwa before she got that blessing from Allah. And Allah also tells us in the same incident that when you trust Allah, it's different than when you don't trust Allah. You see, Allah gives to everyone. Allah gives to His friends and His enemies. Allah gives to those who trust Him, those who do not trust Him. Allah gives to everyone. He gives to everyone. But now I want you to understand this. But there's a difference between what you get from Allah when you trust Him and what you get from Him when you don't trust Him. See that? When you trust in Allah, you get something else. When you don't trust in Allah, you get what everyone else gets. You see, when you do not trust in Allah, Allah gives it to you, but He only gives you what you require. No. Understand this. He only gives you what you require. That's all He gives you. So if I require the food for today, He will give me the food for today. That's all He will give you. But when you trust in Allah, then Allah says, look at the example of those who trusted Him. When you trust in Allah, then Allah gives you so much abundantly that it becomes not a glass of water, but the well of Zamzam. He gives you the well of Zamzam that not just was enough for them, but for all of mankind to come and send the day of judgment. You see that? Understand this. This is how Allah gives you when you trust Him. When you trust Him, that's how Allah gives you. Allah is saying, if you want to speak the truth, the only way you can do it is if you trust Allah. If you don't trust Allah, you can never speak the truth. If you don't speak the truth, how can you be the imam? How can you be the helper of the imam? How can you be the helper of the imam if you don't trust Allah and if you don't speak the truth? See, this is, my brothers, one of the qualities that Allah has mentioned. That you want to speak the truth, Imam Ali says, you want to speak the truth, then trust in Allah first. That's how you speak the truth. When you have complete trust in Allah, then you know. that you will not be worried about what others will think. What is the criticism of people? You will say what is right. You will say what is right. You will say what is the truth. This is a sign of a helper of the iman. I wanted to go through more, but I will just stop here at one. Right? And we will, inshallah, go through more of this in detail as we go along. But it's the trust in Allah that really you see what happens with it. Brothers, this was a trust that the Ahlul Bayt had. When you see the trust that they had was something that not everyone could accomplish. In fact, no one could. When we look at the trust that Imam Ali alayhi salam had, you see, the same Ali, when his trust in Allah was such that when he went to the battlefield to fight, he did not wear an armor. He did not wear an armor, right? He was going forward in the battlefield. In the battlefield, he was going forward. He did not wear an armor. People asked him, why don't you wear an armor? You see, when you trust Allah, now you know that your life is in His hands. You know that now Allah is the protector of your life. And it is so true what Imam Ali said. When they asked him, why don't you wear an armor? You can be killed. He said, the best protection against death is the time of your death. The best protection against death is the time of your death. Allah has fixed it. Allah has fixed it. Until that time doesn't come, you're not going to die. You're not, no matter what anyone intends of you. Not what anyone intends of you, you are not going to die. But when the time of death comes, then no one can save you. No one can save you. So a warrior like Ali, in front of whom the greatest warriors of the Arabs fell before. Imagine this. Imagine what kind of person Ali is. That Ali never once became happy at the conquests of these battles that he won. Never once did he say this. You see, never once did he was he proud of the conquest, and there was many reasons for Imam Ali to be proud of. People are proud of the achievements he made. Anyone who reads his history can be proud of what a human being has passed. But you see, Imam Ali never claimed glory for all the victims who were killed before him. You know, it's amazing, you know. I mean, Imam Ali, even in war, even in battle, you see his honor. That even the enemies have to praise him. You know, when he killed Amr ibn Abdul Wud, and he left there. The way of the Arabs was this, that if you kill a warrior you face, then you're allowed to take whatever you want from him. Meaning, if he has any ornaments, you can take. You can take his shield, you can take his armor, you can take his sword as a prize for your victory. And no one minded this. They said, this is the hidden law. This is the unwritten law of battle. Imam Ali killed the greatest warrior that the Kuffar brought to face Ali. when he killed the strongest warrior, the greatest warrior, and he left him, the sister of this warrior, the sister of Amr ibn Abdul, she came to his body. You know, she came to his body. You know, obviously it was a time of grief for her. She lost her brother. She looked at the body and she saw the way Imam Ali left him. And looking at the body, grief on one side and his situation on the other side, she said a poem addressing her brother and said, "I would have cried for you until I died." This is the translation of it. He said, "I would have cried for you until I died, but the person who has killed you was an honorable man." The man who killed you was an honorable man. I cannot cry over you knowing that you were killed by someone dishonorable who did not dishonor you. You see, this was Imam Ali. Even the enemies, they praise his honor. They praise his character. And you know, a person like Ali who was helping and a helper in such a way that, you know, you really have to look at the help that he gave to people. As a ruler, when he had resources under his hand, you see that everyone who required help, he gave them. Even those people, there are some people that Imam Ali would go out at night when they were sleeping and put the bread in front of their door. He would put the bread in front of their door. And a lot of people misunderstood this. They think that Imam Ali wanted to hide the fact that he's giving. Imam Ali didn't want to hide the fact that he's giving to them. No one would mind if Ali gave to them. He's the ruler. You see, but imagine how gentle and how wise and how much of a foresight that Imam Ali had. That the reason he was going at night to feed these people or to give bread to these people is not because they should know him or not know him, but rather to hide their own identity from their neighbors. You see, he was giving them so that the neighbors won't know that they are on welfare. To make sure that their respect will be kept in the eyes of people. Because there were those people, there are some people, as Imam Ali himself has said, who are too poor to ask, and they're too, who are too poor to eat, and too proud to ask. Imam Ali says, these people, you need to go to them and help them and feed them, because they will never come to you and ask. This is the reason Imam Ali used to go out at night and give bread to these people. Now, who would think of harming him? You see, harming a person who wants to help you, harming a person who wants to make you better, harming someone who is your friend, who can be your confidant, harming a person who will, you know, protect you and will work hard to protect you, harming him, what kind of a person would do that? This is the reason why we see that the person who killed Imam Hussein was not termed by this term called Ashkal Ashkiya, the most wretched of the wretched. This title was given to Ibn Muljim. Ashkal Ashkiya is a title that's given to Ibn Muljim in Hadith. That he is the most wretched of the wretched. Who would kill a person like Ali. See, Imam Hussein died in a battlefield. In the battlefield you're fighting. You know, you are supposed to expect death. See? But no one comes to the masjid expecting to die. You see? That's why it requires a person who is wretched to come to the house of Allah and plan what he had. So my brothers, now that you have heard the history, now let us go back to this night. This night in the year, 40th year after Hijrat. This is the same night that Imam Ali and his family came to the house of his younger daughter, Umm Kulthum. They came there, they joined there for food. Umm Kulthum brought food in front of her father. She kept it there for him. It was a bread, a glass.